Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily, well, sort of daily, and I'm going to touch on that in a second, daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Excited to be with you all here on this Wednesday. And what might be the only edition of Locked On Pelicans this week, we're going to touch on why in a second. But before I tell you what we're talking about today, and there's actually a decent bit, to be honest. I was kind of surprised all of a sudden a few things broke yesterday on Tuesday with the Pelicans waiving some players. There's also Kyrie Irving news. I want to talk a little bit about the luxury tax and kind of the importance of avoiding that, which ties into something that Portland did yesterday too. So a couple of different topics to cover today. But don't forget, the podcast Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found. Please subscribe to it. It does make a difference. Follow it on social media, at Locked On Pels on Twitter. Like it on Facebook. Those likes also matter as well, believe it or not. And if you ever get a second, please log on to iTunes and rate the podcast 5 stars and leave a comment. Even if it's something you want me to talk about, I'll answer them on here. We had a lot of fun last week doing the mailbag edition of Locked On Pels in the second half of one of the podcasts. We can do more of those. And that's one way to get your questions out there where I can see them. Also helps this, and again, keeps it free for you guys. The only podcast bringing you this much information on a pretty regular basis. So today's edition of Locked On Pelicans is brought to you by SeatGeek. So we are going to be talking about Quinn Cook and Axel Toupin being waived. One of those is a surprise. Toupin, not so much. Talk about Kyrie Irving, why the Pels might want to consider bringing him in here, or if they should just insert themselves into trade talks in some capacity. And also, what's going on with Portland, their luxury tax bill, trading away Allen Crabbe. Should the Pels take a look at him? And this is why this luxury tax is terrifying to certain teams. So we got a lot to cover in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, so let's just jump right on in. So news of the day came kind of surprisingly that the Pelicans waived Quinn Cook and Axel Toupin. And like I said in the opener here, I'm not surprised they waived Toupin. That was going to be the case, as least as when we got close to training camp and in the start of next year. Both these guys, yesterday, the 25th, needed to be cut. Otherwise, their salaries they're owed would have jumped from $25,000 to $100,000. So this move on the surface, and look, we're going to judge it on the surface. We're also going to look at it in the broader context of what might come. We're going to do both. It's not just one way or the other, by the way. We can react in the moment and also look at it long term and then react again. That's the cool thing about all of this. So it saves the team $150,000. And, you know, at a certain point, cuts come. They can't spend every single penny. And this is going to tie into what I'm going to talk about. I guess we'll do it next and make the transition a little bit easier here. But you got to save money in places at times. It matters. And this is one way to do it. Quinn Cook, though, is the surprising one. $75,000 might have been worth it to maintain him on the roster. In Vegas, for Summer League, he put up 21.2 points per game, averaged 4.8 assists per game, 3.6 rebounds, 1.2 steals, shot over 55%, almost 56% from the field, 50% from three-point, 90% from the free throw line. And this is a guy who got a handful of NBA minutes last season with the Pels, though he didn't look particularly too good. But this is a guy who, by all accounts, should at least be given the opportunity to be in the NBA, even if it's a backup guard position. And this move is particularly surprising, as I kick the mic in the table I'm using here, that the Pels raved about him internally. I spoke with some of the coaches, some of the front office guys, and they really liked him. This is genuinely surprising because I think they expected him before Rondo was signed to be the backup point guard, and you need three point guards on the team, so having him there, even with Rondo, wasn't a bad idea, especially given how cheap he was going to be during the season and his amount. Now, you might think maybe they'll bring him back for training camp. He might wait around. The problem is he's on waivers, and any team can kind of go and claim him, and he counts as a minimum deal. That's also a concern. So, you know, I have no idea why this came out now. So we can judge it in the moment, and on the surface, it doesn't look very good. Quinn Cook also isn't that good of a player, so it doesn't look particularly bad. I just don't necessarily see in this exact moment any upside to it. But hey, this frees up two roster spots for guys they had under contract. And, you know, maybe it leads to an unbalanced trade with more players coming back. Something like that saves them some money, even with a hard cap looming. So this is a weird situation that, you know, you kind of want to grade incomplete right now. If the Pels don't do anything by the start of the year, then yeah, this is a problem, and I think this was maybe short-sighted. And if it's just to save $150,000, we got to wonder about their financials and whether this was a good idea or not. So that's one of the big concerns with it, and I think people were really excited to give Quinn Cook a chance here in the NBA. The other issue is when you get towards, and this is going to tie in, we'll transition now. I'm kind of doing this one on the fly today with no notes here. If you, next season, the Pels are going to be in really big trouble with the salary cap again, because you have DeMarcus Cousins making a little over something like 18 and change million this year. He's going to be up for 30 plus next year. More, he's going to make more than Drew Holiday makes per season. That's going to put you absolutely in the luxury tax. When you're in the luxury tax, to kind of be competitive and to at least, you know, not just be only top heavy, you need to have cost-controlled guys on the roster, and Quinn Cook would have been one of those. So to see him let go, they're not thinking at least for next season, they're thinking, or two seasons now, I guess. They're thinking just next, this coming season and not the year after that. I think I said it right there. And that's a bit concerning. You want some long-term eyes on all of this. And I, again, it's just on the surface. This doesn't look good, but we don't know what's coming next. So the luxury tax and why that's an issue. So Portland traded Alan Crabb to the Nets for Andrew Nicholson, and then they promptly stretched Andrew Nicholson. This trade, by the way, because of them being in the repeater tax, I think Alan Crabb's making like $18 million and something around there, saves them his $18 million salary, and then stretching Nicholson, which puts him about a $2.7 million cap hit over the next 7 years, I believe, is what the numbers and math all comes to. But it's saving them this coming season $43.9 million, I think it was, over $43 million, getting rid of an $18 million contract and stretching another one. That's how brutal their tax situation was. They had one of the higher payrolls in the league when you factor in the repeater tax and everything. And this is why the Pelicans are trying so hard, and it's come out. I've said it. Kushner said it. A number of people have said it, that it's just this team's not going to pay the luxury tax. And it's not because they just don't want to, you know, deal with paying it this 1 year. It's the repeater part of it. Next year, they're probably going to be in the luxury tax because of re-signing DeMarcus Cousins. Even if you stretch Omer Asik at some point, you're likely looking at a luxury tax team. Now, if you're in the tax this year, you're in the repeater part of it next season for when you're really starting to be, in theory, better and compete more. This way, they avoid that, and next year when they're in the tax, it's their first year, and they're only paying the $1 to $1 and not the multiplier of it. That's a really big deal. By the way, as I'm recording this, Scott Kushner says on Twitter, league source says Quinn Cook was squeezed out by numbers, adding Rajon Rondo gave the Pelicans five guards, Holiday, Rondo, Moore, Crawford, Jackson, and, you know, it's just they don't have minutes. And it says, he says it's still possible Quinn Cook gets another training camp shot with the Pels, but hard to crack the roster. So there you have it for Quinn Cook and that situation. So going back to the tax, you know, this is why you're going to see the Pels kind of, you know, not go into the luxury tax and hard cap themselves before they're really hitting that, and kind of stop, you know, and stretch Asik to try and get under it or what have you, even though it doesn't necessarily create more room for them. It's that repeater tax that's the scary and difficult part to deal with. And when you see Portland dumping Alan Crabb for a guy they're not even keeping on the team, for a team that has a lofty payroll and playoff aspirations, you don't want to have that damn payroll and not make the playoffs, and they're still not in great shape. They're still in the tax after this move, but it saves them over $43 million in one season. That is a whole crap load of money. Now, before we get kind of nuts and crazy here in the latter part of today's Locked On Pelicans, I do want to mention today's episode is brought to you by SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. And I did this for a number of games for the Saints this year, a number of Saints games, including the Monday night game, the 10-year anniversary of the Gleason block and reopening of the Superdome. Got really good tickets at the last minute while I was hanging out in Champion Square. It was like $40 a piece. Come on, you can't beat that. So SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. Now, all you have to do is just download the SeatGeek app, and because you're a Locked On Pelicans listener, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, you download the SeatGeek app today, enter the promo code LONBA, it's a new promo code, LONBA, and you're going to get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase as a rebate. You're getting money back on something you were going to get and buy already. Nothing wrong with that. So definitely download the SeatGeek app today, put in the promo code LONBA, and make sure you get in on the action that you want to see. So let's get a little crazy. And one of the things I mentioned, we were talking about Alan Crabb and the luxury tax. This is actually a guy, if I were the Pels, I'd kind of go after and try and get. And he's a shooting guard. He shot over 40% last year from three. He's a pretty good three-point shooter on decent volume, making $18 million. If you can somehow flip Omer Oshik, Quincy Pondexter, and Alexei Ajinsa, which I believe works for Alan Crabb, and trade a future first-round pick and maybe a second, let's say, do that in a second. Yeah, it's going to put him in the luxury tax, but I'd rather pay luxury tax, or at least next season, I'd rather pay luxury tax for guys who play versus guys who do not. And it's as simple as that. It'd be useful. He's a good player. He gets kind of shat on because he's on such a bad contract, but he's a useful guy. I wouldn't say good, but useful, adequate NBA rotation player, you know, borderline starter at times. So I think that could be a good fit there to add some more to the guard rotation here. But as we just saw, you know, it doesn't look like the Pels are going to look at it from that because of Kushner's tweet of they like their guard rotation as is and don't really see a lot of room for another guy right now. So keeping with trades, and let's talk about Kyrie Irving and the Cavaliers. And I know you all want to, and we're not going to spend that much time on it because it's a little, I don't want to say stupid to do so, but I mean, come on, this isn't going to happen. So reason you do this if you're the Pels. So first, let's start from Kyrie's angle. I got a lot of people saying, well, he's going to get overshadowed by Davis here. Look, when you watch them and really watch the Cavaliers, he's not their point guard. He plays the point guard position, but he's not their point guard. He's not the distributor, the playmaker. That is LeBron James' role. He is the guy who's creating for others, who's initiating the offense. Goes through LeBron. It's not Kyrie Irving, and he wants to be that playmaker, the man, the one with the ball in his hands on every possession to get down there, get people set up, create for others, and kind of just, you know, be that guy. He could do that with Anthony Davis because Davis is a big and doesn't, you know, have the ball in his hands on every possession. So it's quite possible that Kyrie Irving could fit here with Anthony Davis. Now, if you're the Pelicans, why would you do this? And there's actually not a lot of reasons. I mean, they're all in on this DeMarcus Cousins-Anthony Davis pairing, and they think that it's going to work and are very high on it, even if the rest of the, you know, media around the league doesn't really think so. They've kind of gone all in on this, especially bringing in Chris Finch to help run that offense through him at times, and various other things. They're trying to put shooters around these guys, and I don't know if Kyrie without shooters is necessarily going to be more effective either. So that's one of the interesting things about it. But if you're the Pels, you do this just kind of as, I guess it's a risk mitigation is maybe the best way to put it. And isn't that like half of life is just mitigating risk, really, it seems like at times. And almost like any profession, if you can do that, you're kind of set up pretty well. Anyway, so I digress here. But you do this because, look, I've said I think those final four spots in the Western Conference, 5, 6, 7, 8, there's like 8 teams vying for those 4 spots, and the Pels are one of them. One thing goes wrong. You miss the playoffs, or it's just more competitive and you miss out on it by a game or something like that. DeMarcus Cousins is likely walking, and then this team is kind of a lame duck. You're firing Gentry and Demps. You have Davis, and it's you just don't have enough to be able to build around him and go out and get marquee free agents or do whatever to put a really competitive team on the court. So you're kind of screwed, basically, is what it comes down to. Dead team walking, dead man walking. So this is what's kind of interesting with it. But if you were to trade for, you know, Kyrie Irving and say you move out DeMarcus Cousins, he's under contract for a year longer than Cousins. Essentially, he's got a player option, which assuredly is going to be declining. But you all of a sudden have another year. If, say you make this trade right now today and you miss the playoffs next year, it's okay. You got both these guys under contracts and you've got your two centerpieces along with Jrue Holiday to build around. That's why you do it. Risk mitigation. Not necessarily because you think Kyrie Irving's a better player than Boogie, and he's not. Boogie is a better player. Irving is an elite below the rim finisher, meaning he, you know, he's not dunking the ball above the rim, but he's finishing off layups and drives and is elite at it. He's a minus on defense. And he's not quite, you know, the low post scorer. And, well, it's different. But basically, Boogie, I think, is a better player. Let's just leave it at that. And you do this just because he's going to be cheaper next season. And you have another guaranteed year to try and figure this out. And it buys you a little bit more time with Davis and his contract starting to wind down, which I know is going to start in a year or two, or in really 1 year, going to make people really, really uneasy with what is going to happen with that. So is it likely? No. Should the Pelicans do it? Probably not. But hey, a lot of people aren't sold on this too big plan working. It's not what the NBA is doing. There's legitimate concern, despite how good these guys are, that just two bigs like this don't work in the current landscape of the NBA. That's a valid thing to think. You don't want to just shoot it down and say, well, they're two top 15 guys. Look at the... Look, we don't know. This is a very big experiment year, not just for the Pels, but kind of the league as a whole. And it's going to be interesting to see if this doesn't work. It's small ball for the foreseeable future. And it doesn't look like we're going to have, you know, prototypical centers of the past playing anymore. And you kind of build around something different. And hey, at least the Pels tried. It just didn't work out. Now, should the Pels try and put themselves in a deal as the third team to try and, you know, bring on a piece or acquire something as to help facilitate this trade? And of course they should. The problem is they're in absolutely no position to do so. Third team in any of these deals usually needs to take on salary, and they get a pick or two while this goes on just to facilitate the trade and make other things work. Think Ryan Anderson in the proposed Carmelo trades. They needed a team just to kind of take on his money to make this trade work, and so far they haven't been able to find anyone. Same thing. If the Pels want to get in on this trade, you're likely going to need them to take on salary. And how do they do that? Usually the third team's a team with cap space that they can do this, and they get a pick or two for using their cap space as an asset. Pels don't have cap space. They don't have any ability to do this. So yeah, they should try and get in on this deal if they can get anything whatsoever for it that's more useful. But it's not like, you know, any other teams are going to take on Oshik in a proposed Kyrie Irving trade. And the Pels don't have cap space to use it as an asset to acquire a future pick or another useful player. So they're probably going to be frozen out on this. That said, I'm sure they've probably called the Cavaliers doing their due diligence and go, what about 2 future firsts for Kyrie Irving plus each one more or whatever it takes to make the money work? They're going to get shot down, but at least they tried. All right, so that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. So a little bit of housekeeping, as I kind of said in the beginning, this is the time of year where the podcast probably goes not quite on hiatus, but starts to scale back. One, it just gives me a break. Could use it. Been doing this for almost a year now, where we're doing multiple podcasts a week, you know, 5 days a week at times here. And it gets a little rough. I could use kind of a vacation from it all. Also, it's that dead period in the NBA. The flurry of free agency has kind of wound down. There's nothing really going on. So we're at least going to have the podcast once a week. More than that is really going to depend on what's going on, if there's topics to talk about. So one, tweet questions at me, you know, send questions in, because I can always build and do podcasts around that, and it gives me stuff to talk about. Also, talk about what you guys want to hear, which is kind of why I do this. I'm not doing it so I can hear my own voice. I just record these things and never listen to them. Hearing my own voice or seeing myself on TV or something. It's really, really weird to me. So, you know, if you got any questions you want to answer, different things, please let me know. We will talk about them on here. But don't be surprised if the podcast moves to once, twice a week for the foreseeable future. And it's going to start being ramped up as we get back into training camp preseason, you know, around October or so, as the season starts to kind of get underway and we build up to it. So, you know, get a break, recharge, chill out for a little bit, and then get ready. It's just like what players do, doing the same thing. So it should be, you know, a lot of fun as we get towards that again, but going to die down for a little bit here just because we're in that dead period. So thank you all for listening to today's edition. Don't know if there's going to be another podcast later in the week yet or not. Still in the process of moving homes and stuff here, so that takes up a lot of time. I get a break today from painting to be able to record this, so you know, it's a good excuse for all of that. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NOLAJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all next time.